home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And here we are again. You are listening to Rated LGBT Radio. I am Rob Watson. Garrett Miller is off tonight, but he has a very good excuse. Not that he doesn't normally have good excuses when he doesn't happen to be here, but tonight he has an exceptionally good excuse because he is attending Music Awards in Hollywood, and he is up for several awards. And so we're wishing him well. We're keeping our fingers, toes crossed. His song, Gay Wedding, hit number one on a couple of independent charts again. It's probably because we're getting to wedding season, and you know, for same-sex marriage or same-sex couples, it's a pretty cool song to play at some point during the festivities. So anyway, that's where Garrett is. But not to be outdone, we have a very musical show of our own tonight. And okay, now you guys know I'm not necessarily the most technical guy here, but I'm going to try this out anyway. So check this out.
Soldier, lace up your boots and head on out into this life like a battleground. It may be a climb, but soldier, keep love by your side. Try as you may, try as you might, this battle will take a toll on your life. You're gonna have to fight. Soldier, keep a love by your side. Love, love is all you need. Well, it can heal the hurt and stop the bleed. And no, you're not alone. Soldier, love will guide you.
So that, my dear friends, is a brand new artist, Jamie Wilson, heartfelt lyrics, Soldier, and about love being by his side. And we're going to find out what that's all about. Jamie and dear friend Brody Levesque, welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Greetings.
Hey, how's it going?
Jamie, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. That's great. That is always a relief when the guests can be heard. Got to tell you. So, Jamie, phenomenal song, fantastic stuff going on for you. Tell us about country music. Why is country music near and dear to your heart?
Well, first, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. And so country music, I grew up with country music. I grew up on a farm, and so I guess that would probably be why I mostly grew up listening to country. I think when you grow up with a specific genre of music, it always kind of has a special place in your heart. You know, I love all music, but whenever I sit down to write, it just always comes out as a country song.
Well, you know what? I'm already going to start an argument with you. Because I've got a piece here that you did. It's called Poetry, but it comes out pretty close to a really, really, really cool rap song. So are you sure it's only country going on for you?
I guess I do write poetry as well. So poetry is a mix of rap, I guess you could say. I mean, I like all music and I sing all music, but Whenever I purposely sit down to write a song, it normally ends up country. Poetry can lead to just about anything.
Yeah. Well, also, I wanted to go into, because when you listen to your music, and mm-hmm. and I haven't found a huge catalog for you yet, which I'm hopeful that's coming. But the thing I've noticed is you're very lyrical. Your lyrics, you do not want to miss your lyrics. The heart and soul of your songs are very much in that part of your writing. Is that accurate? And what kind of major themes are you trying to capture?
I appreciate that a lot. I think as a writer, I always try to aim for my lyrics to touch people and get the point across. I think music is so special in a way that you can tell people what you want to say without feeling like you're forcing or shoving anything down anyone's throats, I guess, is how I put it. Music can reach people in a different way. And so, lyrically, I like to write about my own truth and struggles that I've gone through and kind of leave it open to being able to where someone else could relate to my lyrics as well.
Well, they're beautiful. They're direct to the heart. They're very relatable on a lot of different levels. I wanted to ask you about a couple of adjectives that, I'm sure are already being thrown your way. They kind of go in front of the title country singer, country musician, country artist, or whatever. The first one I want to ask you about is, and we can take one of two, but hot and or sexy. A lot of your pictures are, let's face it, they're pretty woohoo. How do you see that well-built buff image fitting into where you want to go musically?
I mean, I think, I'm transgender, and ever since I've had my top surgery, it's felt really freeing to have my shirt off, honestly. So most of my pictures happen to be shirtless. And
okay.
I do live in Florida, so it's
my other one. you went right to the other one. So the other adjective that can be put on you is transgender. And the reason I didn't lead with it, we had on recently the brilliant comedian, Julia Scotti, and Julia was a first runner up on America's Got Talent. Brilliant, brilliant mm-hmm. comedian. She went out, she did her bit. She wowed the judges. They were just, she was like grandma with a potty mouth. And she went out and blew them away, and they were, all, yay, 100%. And then in the discussion, it came out that she was transgender. And as soon as she said it, they were, of course, blown away again. But that label seemed to like flutter down from the rafters, and boom, she became that transgender comedian. And in my discussions with her, she didn't want to break away from it. It was who she is. She's proud of it. She doesn't hide it. She brought it up. But she also wants to be known in her own right as a comedian. And how would you relate that to your work?
Yeah, I definitely see where she's coming from on that. I'm a country singer, a country artist who happens to be transgender. I feel very strongly about being open about that I'm transgender because, I think spreading awareness is a great thing, especially in the country music scene. You don't see too much representation in the LGBTQ community. And so I think it's kind of, part of my responsibility as an LGBTQ artist to be able to show people who I am, every part of me.
Absolutely. And I think also putting that color on the snippet of the song we just played about soldier and, a soldier in the field and having love by your side and the kind of the scars of that. I'm guessing, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I'm guessing it does have something to be about your fight in terms of being who you are, being your authentic self, and the transgender path that you've been on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I found that through all my struggles of coming out and had a lot of issues and, you know, bumps in the path along the way, and really love and, you know, kindness and people who are, you know, by my side. That's why I say keep love by your side, is surround yourself with people who do give you who do give you that love and acceptance that you need, and that really keeps you going.
No, it absolutely does. Brody, you have, it hasn't been published yet, but you have an article which is really poignant and captured Jamie's story. What caught you as a journalist to this young man, to the story, and what is it that you hope people get from what you've written, which they haven't read yet?
I think the first thing that struck me was just that Jamie is. There was no pretense. It's, here I am. I'm a country music artist. I happen to be trans. And this is my story, and this is what I want to do. And I think that the other part of it that at least I saw, that I thought was extremely, it was not only just entertaining, but it was just so educational for me to look at, was here was this young man who was completely, you know, unabashed and not shy about who he was and what he was representing and what he really wanted to go, you know, in terms of where he was at. So I thought that was kind of important. And that was one of the things that struck me more than anything else. And Jamie has embraced his identity in such a way that he's, I think, a definite role model, especially for other trans kids.
Absolutely. Jamie, what now, if you don't mind, can you go into some of your early story and your discovery of yourself? How, you know, how, at what point did you realize, the outside body here does not fit the inside?
Yeah, so my earliest memory of having thoughts like that is about, I was about 5 years old, and I just remember being confused. I thought that I was going to grow up and be a guy. And I guess that was my earliest memory. Of course, I didn't, you know, my brain didn't think that far into things. I didn't understand until I was about 15 is when I started realizing, I feel like I'm supposed to be a guy. And that's when I started, like, you know, putting more masculine clothes on and things. But with the family that I grew up in, I couldn't really express myself openly. And so it's something I, you know, kept secret for a long time until I was old enough to, you know, be on my own.
And what happened with your family when you did come out and let them know what was going on? I mean,
when I came out, like you described,
you come from a rural kind of area that, you know, might not be as seeing that kind of thing as much as the more urban areas would.
Yeah, right. Where I grew up, my family, I grew up in a very conservative household. And so I knew how I should act, how my parents wanted me to dress and look and present myself. And that's what I did for most of my life. You know, for 19 years of my life, I definitely was the person that my parents wanted me to be. And I didn't feel comfortable telling them who I really was because I knew the backlash I would get for it. And so once I turned 19, that's when I decided to come out. I couldn't really say the words because I was just so scared. I was way too freaked out to tell my parents. So I woke up one morning and I went and I made a hair appointment and got all my hair cut off and went shopping for myself and got some different clothes. And I just showed up at home and, you know, I kind of let that speak for itself. It was a very difficult day. It was the worst and the best day of my life. You know, I got to finally be myself, but I did, you know, lose a big chunk of my family, which was very difficult for me.
What happened with them, if you don't mind my asking, and have they come back?
So when I initially did come out, my family, my parents were very upset about my outward appearance, which kind of made me feel bad because, you know, you grow up your whole life and, my parents anyway always told me you shouldn't care what other people think of you. And I was kind of taken back because it felt like they did care what other people thought of me and what I looked like on the outside. And that was difficult. I thought eventually that they would come around. You know, it's been over 2 years now, and we still do not have a relationship, and we don't talk. They're just not willing to accept the change that I've gone through.
That is, I think you really nailed something there, though, because I know from my experience that that also was a major internal shock for me. I was raised with the idea of, we're always proud of you. We're proud of you no matter what. It doesn't matter what other people think. You be yourself, everything else. And when you kind of go, well, oh, by the way, here is who I really am. And they go, oh, wait a minute. And yeah, so it's that is harsh. I've got a couple of questions, but I'll go in this direction first. What so with that kind of feeling that they had pulled back, how did you move forward for yourself? How did you continue to live a life where the value that they had taught you came through, which is be yourself? How did you maintain that?
Right. It was very difficult for me at first because I had to take what they taught me, but they weren't, I couldn't apply it to them. So, you know, I had to be myself. I knew I had to be myself. I had known since I was 15 for a fact that this is what I wanted to do. And I just really worked on surrounding myself with people who did understand and accept me for who I am. I think that's very important for anyone, you know, regardless of if you're transgender or not, like surrounding yourself with people who care and respect like the person you are is definitely a healthy thing. I found myself escaping the music a lot because I kind of forgot about things, you know, writing a song, you can just get lost in the music. And that was definitely a good thing for me.
Now, one thing in my research on getting ready to talk to you, which was vast, I mean, it's been hours. And that's a little inside joke because Brody introduced me to you literally hours ago. So normally I have a little more time when I look into people that I'm going to talk to. But I found a song online called If I Could Go Back by Jamie mm-hmm. Wilson. Was that a song of yours?
Yes. Yes, it was. I wrote that for my school for Suicide Awareness Week. We'd actually had a student that had passed away the week before Suicide Awareness Month had come around, and so I was inspired to write that song. I just wanted, you know, people to know that even if you feel alone, there are people out there who can be there for you, and I just kind of wanted to reach a hand out for those who needed it.
Well, it is brilliant. It is wonderfully done. And the reason I had such question about it is because the person singing it versus the person you are today are almost unrecognizable as being the same person, both looks and vocally. How do you feel about that? I mean, does it feel like that was done by somebody else?
So I think it's different for me because, you know, from an outside perspective, I changed, like I did a 180. And to me, I just became the person, you know, that I've always been. It's just like growing into adulthood, I guess. You know, it was a more drastic change for others. But I don't ever feel like I became a different person. I just, you know, made the body I have my home. And so, no, I'm the exact same person, I feel like, you know. And I think anyone who's known me from, you know, a childhood till now that I've stayed in contact with, which is very few, they'll say the same thing. It's difficult for people to, you know, see a different person almost, but, you know that it's the same person.
Well,
I think one of the things that I found when I was interviewing Jamie, and I found this before over the last few years, especially, you know, myself being a trans ally and spending a lot of time as an advocate for the trans community. Jamie has an incredible amount of inner strength that comes across in a very honest, authentic way. I picked up on that during the interview. I picked up on that watching his videos. And honestly, Rob, when I first encountered him on Instagram and was going through his Instagram account, that's what really came across. Jamie's from an extremely conservative part of the upper Midwest, and it's deeply religious, it's deeply conservative, its politics tend to be very Republican. So for someone like Jamie to come along and display this kind of strength, and then not only that, and I'm sure I'm going to embarrass him, but I'm going to say this, Jamie will take the extra step to, you know, not only walk the walk, but talk the talk. This is a kid who holds contests and so forth for binders and for other things for the rest of the trans community that he's a part of, particularly your female to male trans. And that speaks of, you know, just almost having a spine of steel. And this was the one thing, you know, that I found that just, you know, caught my eye and went, well, wait a minute. You know, Julia, who we're both friends with, is in many ways the same way. So when you're listening to Jamie's music or when you're looking at what Jamie is saying, it's an old soul in a young body. So I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah, no, I think your ageless wisdom comes through very strong, but by the same token, why wouldn't it? I mean, I think you've confronted something that, you know, many of us take a whole lifetime to come to grips with in smaller ways. Have you felt that sense of more maturity than your peers growing up, Jamie?
I think growing up, my mother always told me that I think about things a lot, like I'm always in my thoughts a lot. And, you know, that really came from having to do a lot of self-reflection from a young age because I was struggling with something that I couldn't really talk to people about. And I think that's why I feel the need to, like, show everyone that it's okay to be yourself. And it's not just okay to be yourself. It's a great thing to be yourself. And you don't have to feel like this really brave person who can accomplish anything, because I'm telling you right now, I never thought I would come out. I thought I would hide it for the rest of my life. And really, I think everyone has the strength to be themselves. And once you just take that leap or even just that little step, it becomes easier and easier and easier. And eventually being yourself, it's not something you have to think about anymore. You kind of have like this weight lifted off your shoulders, and you're not so stuck in your head anymore, I guess is how I would explain it.
Well, it sounds like when you're in your head, you write is what I'm sort of detecting. So if you don't mind, I want to play something here to give people kind of a sample of what goes on in your head. So hold on just a second.
See, society has got this idea of perfection, how we should walk and in what direction, which shoes we should wear on our journey, and if our jeans make us look too curvy, they want us to follow, never flash solo, show us to tomorrow so it looks like in a photo. The magazines and movie screens, how we should act, the reality TV and the billboards, with beautiful faces, beautiful places, vacation oasis, make us want and need, make us feel like our reality ain't what it should be. But society, they're just playing their cards hard, they're bluffing. I can see it from afar. They want us to buy into their fake fame, but most likely they ain't even using the real name. They're sitting on dollar bills and greed, but that ain't what life is meant to be. They tell us one foot in front of the other. Why can't we just stand up and help each other? Hand in hand, side by side, left, right, left, we could learn to fly with one another instead of stepping on each other. And our veins pump the same blood, our lungs breathe the same air, our minds feel the same fears, and our eyes shed the same tears. But we just can't accept the differences, it seems. But do you know that we're walking on the same earth, running on the same turf? We might have different shoes, we might have different views. It doesn't mean we can't accept the differences and get past the walls between us all. and we don't know what it's like to be someone else. Until we step into their shoes, that's impossible to do, but we try to anyway. And we think that we feel their pain, and we pretend like we've known them from day one, or their feelings, their thoughts about everyone, what makes them happy, makes them sad, every single lie that they've ever said, and we assume they're okay. So we resume our today, but we forget to look over our shoulder to see if they ever need you or me to stay. Wipe their tears away. Maybe they've had a long, hard day. The world's treating them like prey, and they don't have a single word to say, because they're tearing them up and ripping them down. They're holding their throats. They can't make a sound. And even when they decide to let them up, then they're too weak to speak up for themselves. But if we were there, we could help them fight their fears. Instead of pushing them down, we could help them up. I don't know about you, but being perfect ain't worth it. When you see someone hurting all because they're uncertain of how they should look or who they should be, because their eyes are so fixed on that movie screen called life that we seem to revolve around. Every day I witness people pushing people down, using them as stepping stones to get to where they want to go, because everyone's so obsessed with putting on a good show. We worry too much about what people think. We're almost paranoid at the thought we might not be number one in everybody else's eyes, but it's not you that they like if you're wearing a disguise. So face the facts and take off the mask, because you're beautiful no matter what anyone has said. You may not believe that, but I sure do. Sometimes all it takes is one kind word to help someone hold on to life.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I got to tell you, this kid is just incredibly talented. What I really liked about that, because I too also watched that particular thing, the first thing that struck me was, is I suddenly had, you know, Eminem's music from his movie 8 Mile coming up underneath, okay, and playing. It was interesting in my head. I'm listening to Jamie, but I can hear, you know, Marshall Mathers, Eminem from 8 Mile, and I could hear the beat and everything going. I'm like, this kid's just incredibly talented. So,
I know. You see where I went with the rap thing, right, yeah.
Yeah, Eminem. I mean, only better looking, you know. My apologies to Mr. Mathers, but, and no less from the same home state, which I think is funny. But one of the things that I enjoyed about talking to Jamie and interviewing him is he's very practical. And it's just straight, you know, here I am, what you see is what you get. And then when you listen to his music, it just kind of washes over you. And I've told Jamie this because I have really eclectic tastes in music. I practically will listen to almost anything. But Jamie's got that rare talent, Rob. And I'm a layperson. I am not a music critic. I'm the guy who literally sits back, and if a song hits me, then I'll remember it later, because I'm the guy that I will always remember the first time I heard a song and what I was doing and that sort of thing. And that's the good thing about Jamie's music. I think not only as a country artist, but just as an artist in general, it resonates. And I think for the younger people, and especially since I've been so fortunate to be able to get to know this young man and interview him and talk to him, is that he has that ability to resonate. And I think that's kind of rare in an artist these days, at least my non-musical professional observation, mind you. And I've told him that I'm a political reporter, so, you know, my viewpoint's skewed, you know?
Yeah, no, well, I wouldn't call it skewed. It is as unique as you are, Brody. The thing that I just loved, so many of the points in your poetry, I hope people go back and listen to it a lot more carefully, because you have so many gold nuggets in it, Jamie, in terms of wearing a disguise and, you know, just the confidence of being yourself, and, you know, the message through it is just extremely poignant. And it obviously comes from experience, from your heart and your gut and your experience. And it's, to Brody's point, that makes you project an age and a wisdom far beyond your years. Shifting gears here a little bit, we have some callers on the line, and so callers are listening, hold on. Jimmy, you feel like talking to some other people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, and I'm going to full disclosure here. This is the first time I've done callers on Rated LGBT Radio. I do it on my other show out in Santa Cruz, where I know the deal pretty well. So on here, calling from 248 area code, and I'm going to bring you on now. Welcome to the show. Are
Hello.
You there, caller? Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Did you have a question or a comment?
I just want to say that you are a very big inspiration for me and a lot of my friends. And you, I emailed you and you emailed me back, and I just want, my name is Seth, and you helped me a lot through this. Thank you so
That's
much.
That's amazing. And what... That's okay,
wow.
And
okay.
I'm glad you shared
That's,
that.
Wow, yeah, good for you, good for you.
That's
okay,
awesome.
I'm gonna put,
to
I'm gonna put
yeah.
you back on hold, Seth. So, is there anything else you wanted to say to Jamie? Okay, I'm going to throw you back on hold, and thank you for your comment, and Jamie, I'm sure that was gratifying to hear the impact you're making on somebody's life.
Yeah, very. And I don't think that, you know, all my supporters realize that they make a very big impact on my life, too.
Very much so. Okay, so the next caller, and I'm only seeing a very weird 111 area code, which I don't think is accurate. So if you're on hold and you're a caller, this is you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Are you there? Oh, thank you
yes,
for calling
hello.
In.
Yes, Jamie, you are amazing. You are amazing.
Thank you.
I just recently took the plunge and came out to my mother. And that it didn't really go too well, and I'm kind of stuck.
How are you
Sorry
stuck?
To hear that.
Well, it's kind of, I came out to her, but I didn't truly feel capable to express how I really felt. And I was just wondering if you had any tips or advice on how I could, I almost feel like I have to psych myself up to discuss it with my mom.
Right. I mean, like I said, it was difficult for me to get words out. You know, it's really scary to come out to, you know, people who know you and are close to you. It's almost more difficult than someone you don't even know. And I understand the feeling that you have. My best advice is, I mean, anyone I've ever been really close friends with, if I tell them, like, part of a story and don't tell them the rest, and then tell them the rest later, they're like, you should have just told me to begin with. As hard as it is, you know, to work up that courage to just say, this is the full truth, this is the entire truth, you know, take it for what it is. You know, it's you're not coming out. You're just being yourself, and
absolutely,
you know, with time, everything does get easier.
Yes. Okay. So after what you quoted tonight, I wrote down just a small little bit, if I could share with you, of what I would like to read off to my mother, and maybe you can let me know if it's okay or if it's coming off too strong.
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
Okay. Fuck my pussy, eat my shit, smell my smegma, fuck my dick. Eat my anus, smack my pussy, lick my cunt, and shit my bitch. Lick my pussy, fuck my bitch. Shit my pussy, smell my cunt.
Wow. Rob's
okay.
Quite quick enough on the down button for that one.
Well, no more callers.
Right, one of the problems is, and there is going to be detractors, Jamie, and unfortunately... You know, one of the things that I've learned as a journalist I call them just trolls, but they'll come at you with nonsense like that, for example. And, you know, my first reply is, you know, I'm so sorry that you just have a complete and utter lack of humanity. It's just, that's a tragedy. And then I'll walk away from it. And if they persist, you know, it's just like, what are you going to do? But they're out there.
It actually... Go ahead, Brody. Sorry.
No, it's just it's you know, the troll factor, and again, my perspective on that's different than yours, Rob, and of course, Jamie, obviously yours, is because I deal with it all the time as a political reporter. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we are in an era right now where there's a lot of divisiveness in the American culture and society. And unfortunately, the trans community in particular, that part of the LGBTQI community, is at the tip of the spear. And you know, these people are detractors. But at the end of the day, I always come back to the one thing, and that is that people are human regardless of your perceptions. And if you want to take ill, then fine, okay? But that makes you lesser of a person, not me, and certainly not anyone else.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the point there, because here, you know, we're obviously being heard by many, many people right now. And we've had two works of art presented. We'd had more than that, but we had two primary works of art presented, one from a very sincere transgender young man whose presentation was artistic and poignant and deep and touches the heart. And we had another one that was bizarre and perverse and ridiculous and third grade-ish. And although I think I'm actually giving it far more credit than it deserves, probably more preschoolish. I mean, it's like, what was the point? So caller, yeah, you sounded like the biggest frickin' idiot in the world. You made no point except that you're a jerk. And thanks for caller. We always appreciate opinions, even if they are from Mars. So there we go.
Let's take the next call. If it doesn't have an area code in front of it, I'd be a little suspicious. Yes.
Actually, those were the two main callers. So
we're
kind of
free.
Yep. If you don't recognize the area code, don't accept it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. For me, Jamie, at this point in my life and in my activist career, I search these people out. It's like
he does.
Part is when they devolve into what this guy did. I mean, if this guy wanted to call up and have an honest discussion about whatever it was that was bothering him, that he thought he was going to be witty, I mean, he made no point. But if he wanted to have a point or a conversation, bring it on, baby. Let's talk about it. Let's hear what your issue is, because that's the only way we get through it and out from it. Jamie, going back to the bullying and the activism you did there, what bullying have you observed, in your teen years, not necessarily for yourself, that you felt the need to stand up about?
So before I came out, I didn't get bullied. I was kind of more of the popular pretty girl in high school, so people didn't really pick on me, but I witnessed a lot of bullying, and I always stood up for people, to the best of my ability. And, once I came out, it kind of shifted positions. I was kind of the one who was more being bullied, picked on. But at the other, at the other side, I did have people to stand up for me, and I stood up for myself, But, that was a whole new experience for me, is, people looking at me differently because I had something different going on in my life. People were confused on why I did what I did because of my outward appearance from pre-transition. They were confused. And I took it as an opportunity to show people that it's really not about what someone looks like, and it doesn't matter what someone looks like. It matters who they say they are. So you have to listen to people.
I'd agree with that.
Right. Well,
that's probably the best point. Yeah.
Yeah. We do have another caller. This one is from area code 314. So it's not the mystery man from Mars. So we will go to that caller from 314. You are on the line. Did you have a question?
Hi. Yeah, I do have a question. Can you hear me okay?
Well, I can hear you great. And what's your question?
So I am wondering about Jamie's musical influences in terms of when he was younger, some of his favorite artists, as well as he got older, how that has changed. I know he's got more pop references now, and he's a big fan of Shea. So I was just kind of wondering about that transition, if you can talk some more about his musical history.
Great question, sure. And you're hired as a co-host. Jamie, what about the musical influences? Because I've got a couple of questions on follow up on that one, too.
Well, growing up, my mother sang a lot. She was actually a singer-songwriter. She used to, like, gig a lot, like, actively in music. And so I kind of started singing alongside my mom. And she had a guitar that she was going to throw out. She never learned how to play, and she gave it to me. And that's when I started really singing and writing. I didn't really listen to any specific artists when I was younger. I mean, I listened to country music. Probably George Strait was my favorite singer, but mostly my influence for writing was my mom. And as I grew up, I listened to a little bit of everything. It wasn't until I came out that I really started deeply listening to lyrics, and that's when I found Sia, and she's, a huge supporter and ally of the LGBT community, and her lyrics are amazing, and I found a lot of hope in her songs, so I have to say that's my favorite artist now, my biggest influencer.
Right. Well, Sia, and that kind of leads me to my second question for you, because Sia is kind of androgynous in her lyrics and the things that she's going on. She's, she has songs about helium being lifted up, and I'm made of I'm forgetting the metal now.
Titanium.
and being strong and a lot of inspirational songs. Your projection, your image physically that is kind of coming along with a lot of your music is, obviously very attractive and all that. Are you going to be doing romance songs and those type of things?
Yeah, I do. I do have romance songs too. I mean, I think every artist has those, when you're just in a good mood and lots of happy songs, and then sometimes you have to bring yourself into, emotional states of maybe things that make you feel vulnerable to write songs that aren't so happy. And I think a good mix of both of those is why I like music, because it's like a healthy balance of, remembering who I am and where I came from, and also, reminiscing on good times as well.
Now, one of the artists that was mentioned in some of the material that you are looking towards, because for probably obvious reasons, is Steve Grand, who has kind of made a splash in country music, being a gay artist. And, a lot of his songs are just blatantly, his love interest in the song is another man and his feelings about that. And the scenarios are all different. Who would the love interest for your music be?
All the love songs that I've wrote are either, you could kind of fill in the blanks because there's no pronouns, or, I have some where I say she. But I try my best to make my songs open to, if you were to listen to it, or one would listen to the song, that, you could kind of fill in your own story to the music. I've always appreciated when artists have done that. And, you can kind of listen to a song and make it your own. And I think that's the cool thing about music.
I think that is fantastic, and I think that gender fluidity in your music would actually make a really strong point. So that's kudos. That's fantastic. What kind of venue do you think your strength will be? There are certain artists that are very much in the recording artists, and there are other ones that prefer the intimacy of live audiences, and they're much more performance oriented that way. Which one would you characterize yourself, or both?
I think both for sure. I I really like performing in front of people and getting to talk to people afterwards, you know, and get feedback. And I think there's something special about a live audience, you know. I do put a lot of my music on social media, and I love getting feedback on there and getting to share with all my supporters on there. But there's definitely something super special about getting to perform live.
And what is your how do people find out more about you right now? What are the best ways for them to find you?
So my Instagram I'm very active on, which I think if you just search Jamie Wilson, but you have to spell it right, it's J-A-I-M-I-E Wilson, or you can use a username, which is keyboy61915. And then my Facebook is just facebook.com/Jamie Wilson Music. And, you know, I'm very active on all those. I put singing clips up, and also my YouTube channel is Jamie Wilson Music.
And what if you could lay out your wish list for the next 5 years in your music career? What would those entail? What would be happening? You know, I'm saying this for potential agents and bookers and all sorts of people out there, so they know what map you want to lay out for yourself.
So, I mean, the last month has been pretty crazy for me. I released a before and after picture. I mean, I've done a bunch of before and after pictures before, but for some reason, this particular one that I posted on my Instagram and my Facebook got a lot of reaction, and that is when I started getting like articles in different magazines. I mean, it started happening like all over the world, literally. Like, it went viral. It was insane. And because of that, I've been able to book gigs, and I actually booked internationally even. And like, I didn't think that would ever be able to happen for me. And it's kind of feels good, because I feel like I kind of did it on my own in a way. I wouldn't say I have any set goals. I mean, I just want to keep going with my music and keep booking myself places and getting gigs and being able to do what I love, and wherever it takes me. And I just, you know, I want to have a good time doing it. And I'm really excited to get to meet people. You know, that's what I'm most excited about, that this has happened, is I get to travel places and see people and meet people in the flesh. I think it's going to be a great time.
Well, you're incredibly special, and every person you meet and touch, I think, will be completely blessed by that experience with you. Are you working on an album? Are you working on, you know, several pieces that come together in kind of an artistic way? And if so, what, or if you're not, because I'm working on one of those books that is, you know, I couldn't answer that question very well myself. But what is your next statement, do you think? What do you want to be saying to people in your work?
So I actually had a lot of songs recorded, but being on testosterone is a very long process of voice changes. And so I had songs recorded, and then my voice changed, and then I had more songs recorded, and then my voice changed. And now here I am, and I think my voice is finally done changing, and I hope so. And I am re-recording songs. So some of them are going to be, you know, songs I had written a while back that I haven't even gotten to release because my voice has changed over time, and some of them are newer songs, and, you know, in no particular order, they're just songs that I've written along my journey, and that's why I want to keep some of the old songs in there, you know, from where I began to where I am now, and it's just, you know, pieces of me along the way that I think would be great to share with everyone.
Well, that is fantastic. I want to ask you some general questions. There, one thing that's happened a lot, and I'm a parent, so I'm actually really heartened by this and very much of a rah-rah supporter of it. But a lot of parents are now listening to their kids when they are young, 3, 4 years old, and when the child is identifying as the other gender or a gender other than the one they're being assumed to be, there are parents now listening and raising them in accordance to that. What are your feelings about that, and how do you feel that would have impacted you had that happened for you?
I think that's the definition of unconditional love right there. You know, if my family was, I guess the word would be maybe more open-minded when I was younger, maybe didn't, I don't think they purposely, you know, put too much pressure on me, but, you know, I was kind of told how to walk and how to talk and how to look and how to act. And, you know, I think if I didn't have that, or I know if I didn't have that, I would have been able to come out sooner. And I guess I wouldn't even have to come out. It would have been a slower transition. I could have started from when I was younger. So I think that's so awesome that families are starting to listen to their kids instead of, you know, telling them what to do when they're that young. You know, you're just a little kid. And I think the innocence of a child speaks a lot of truth.
Perfect. One of the big political issues right now is, where do you go to the restroom? What is your message? And you obviously are one of those people that, you know, these memes have gone around, you know, Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. really, you want me in the ladies' room? Really? What is your message to these people that are creating these nonsense laws?
I mean, to be honest, there's a part of me that is also scared. I mean, I do pass. I pass and I use the men's restroom. But I wish that maybe these people would realize that trans people are affected by these laws in a different sense, is that, you know, they're saying that it's dangerous and for trans people to use a bathroom they identify with. But, you know, I feel my safety is also at risk by just going to the bathroom every day, scared that someone might recognize me, or, you know, from my social media, or might know. And, like, it's an unsettling feeling. And then I start thinking, you know, all my trans brothers and sisters and non-binary, and, you know, you really shouldn't have to fear going to the bathroom and be worried. It's just, it's a big issue that needs to be resolved.
Absolutely. Brody, you are a huge transgender activist and ally. What is your best advice for our young friend here?
He needs to continue to be himself. He needs to continue to live an authentic life, because that's who he is. I completely understand, and he knows this, some of the areas that, you know, causes him to pause, such as the bathroom issue. But the one thing about Jamie that I wouldn't probably necessarily have to worry about so much is that Jamie, it's not a matter of passing. And Lord knows I hate that term, only because I think, you know, the opposition says deception and the trans community and allies say pass. And it's like, guys, we're all human. This is really one of the things about Jamie that I find most attractive, is that he's got the ability to translate that into a musical sense, and in a sense that, you know, it is okay to be authentic. And if there's any advice I've got to Jamie, it's, for God's sakes, kid, please continue to be yourself, because you are a role model and you are the kind of person that even older trans people can look at and say, you know what, this kid's inspirational. Yeah, he's right. There's a fear factor. And you know, for those of us that fight that fight and we do our best, we're going to hang in there. And one of the reasons that I do what I do as a journalist and as an activist is for kids like this. Because, Rob, this is our payoff, you know, and you and I are, you know, ancient compared to him. But this is our payoff. This is our legacy. We're talking to our legacy right now on the air. We're talking to a country artist who is incredibly talented, who just happens to be trans. And that's what I'd like to underline and emphasize, who just happens to be trans. It's not who he is. It's a part of who he is, but it's not who he is. And that's another piece of advice for Jamie. Stay with who you are. You know, I completely embrace what you say. You know, I said that to you when I interviewed you. But it's more important that people, and any of you kids that are out there listening right now, you know, especially those that are having, you know, gender identity issues and aren't just sure, you know, be yourself, be authentic, and embrace, you know, yourself as a human being and as an artiste or as an engineer or as a journalist or a whatever you career-wise want to be who happens to be trans. Do not let someone else define you, period. And Jamie, thank God, doesn't do that. Back to you, Rob.
No, fantastic. And Jamie, what is your response to Brody? And by the way, guys, we have literally 4 minutes left, so these are your last words to everybody.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much. Like, you definitely know how to give a good compliment. Making me smile over here. And I mean, I agree with everything you said, and I think that you'll agree with me when I say the best. You know, one of the best advice that I've found myself through this journey is not to compare yourself to other people or other journeys or other experiences. Like, a lot of times we like to look at someone else and think, okay, maybe I should do that or whatever. And you really have to look within yourself. Finding yourself is not that hard if you block out everybody else. You know, you are you, and forget about everyone else for a little bit. It's okay to be a little selfish when it comes to your happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good.
And
he gets it.
Jamie, right now there's somebody listening somewhere who is starting to deal with this stuff in themselves and they are afraid. What do you have to say to them?
I remember being very afraid and very scared. I remember even telling myself that I wasn't going to be able to do this. And it may look like what I did. It may look like I'm really brave and I had it all together, and I did not. I was not brave. And you can do it. Once you do, once you take that first step, it gets easier and easier, and eventually you don't think twice about it. And then you're happy all the time, and you realize that, you know, what you did was a huge accomplishment and can hold your head a little higher.
Excellent. So, Jamie, I want to thank you. The audience, you've been listening to Jamie Wilson, and it's Jamie Wilson. You can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Instagram. I even found him on Twitter. Follow this young man. He is going to be very big, and you need to buy and absorb everything he's doing. Brody, where do you think your writing will appear?
I'm hoping for one of the national. I have one of the national publications is taking a look at it. Actually, I have two national publications looking at it. I've shopped it to both. Whoever gets it, they can have it. I just want to get the word out there about this young man. I think Jamie's incredible. He's now officially part of Brody's Brats, and he knows that. And I want the world to be able to experience what I have been so fortunate to be able to experience with this talented and incredible young man.
Right. And if you want to hear more of Brody, Brody is one of the chief reporters for the new civil rights movement and writes for them often with poignant pieces, important pieces about what is going on in today's political climate and different things that are affecting the LGBT community. Brody, anything further on that that you want to add?
No, not at all. Again, Rob, thank you for inviting me on. More importantly, thank you for, you know, grabbing up Jamie, because this was really critically important to me. I really wanted people to get to know the same kid I got to know, because I think he's great. So my personal appreciation for you doing this.
Great. My pleasure. Thank you both for joining me. You have been listening to Rated LGBT Radio. I'm Rob Watson. Also listen to Out in Santa Cruz on Saturdays, 7 p.m. Pacific time. You can find that at ksco.com or out in Santa Cruz, all one word, .com. We have more fun there and more serious LGBT topics as well. I will be back here next Thursday. I will be there Saturday night. Yes, I have no life except for you people. And I am very grateful for you. And so do the right thing and be back next week.